Thank you for being here. You sang great today. The good singers came this morning. Today we continue with part four of the reality check. Part four. Truthfully, it's never going to quit. I want to make a little bit of a confession to you. You saw threads of this when we talked about laying the foundation in the first month of the year. You're going to see threads in it through almost anything for the next few months. But this has been more specific things, a specific theme. But the concept, it's kind of like, when you become aware of something, you see it more. I think the best way to describe that, when you get car fever, okay? When you get car fever, and we've all had it at certain times, and there's a model of a car, and all of a sudden, we see it everywhere. We've never seen it before. That's kind of the way this is. And I'm in a thing, and this has been, I've had a real spirit of heaviness with this whole thing right here on a couple of different levels and for a couple of different reasons. And I'm in the delivery of some of this and how far to go and which direction. And I've really been feeling, and it's been rewarding on one level, but quite a struggle on the other level. But the thematic, I'm hitting a theme over and over again. Why? Number one, it's important, and number two, that's all that's in my head right now. Okay, and I'm sorry, but that's when you deliver. You heard the old story about the old-timey preacher. Every time he got up, his message was, "You must repent." And that was his whole, every week, "You must repent." And he preaches on repentance. And it was, "Oh, you must repent," week after week, week after, "You must repent." And the deacons couldn't take it anymore. And they called him into the side room after and said, "Listen, preacher, you're preaching the same thing over again. Why are you doing this? Can you do something else?" He said, "No, but why don't you repent?" He said. And so I'm kind of tunnel visioned right now. So why don't y'all repent, all of you right now? We're under a lot of pressure right now, and many things confuse us. You know, there's so many confusing things going on right now. You see things, and you don't get alarmed until it hits you. Isn't that how it always happens? Whether you can, Linda and I were going down the road the other night, and Precious said to me, she said, "You know, we're not far from a Dairy Queen." And I said, "What was that lecture you were giving me earlier about what we should be?" "Well, we'll do that Monday. I mean, we'll do it." She said, "We're not far from the Dairy. We were actually 2 miles from a Dairy Queen and had to make two left turns to get there." But I said, "That sounds pretty good." So I pulled through the Dairy Queen, and we both got our little blizzards. We got medium blizzards. We didn't get even the big one. The medium blizzards. I got the Oreo. It was all crumbled up. And which one did you get? The Reese's? She got the buttercup crinkled up in hers. We got two. And, you know, they hold them up for you, and you do all that silly stuff like that. And the little girl says, "That'll be $12. And I said, "This is all I got." "Yeah, it's $12. These are $6 a piece now?" Now, that's when you know it's hit you. They've done things all over TV. It hasn't moved me at all. But now that the medium blizzard is $6 a piece, this is war, man. This is war. This offends me. Somebody said it this way: "I really don't understand how a cemetery can raise its funeral prices and blame it on the cost of living." Ever think of it that way? There's a lot of pressure. I'm confused all over. Somebody said, "My patience is basically like a gift card. I'm not sure how much is left on it, but we can give it a try," he said. Anybody feel that way right now? I don't know how much is left, but we can give it a try right now. This is crazy, but we didn't get crazy overnight. In the 1940s, young men faked their age to fight in World War II. In 2024, males pretend to be a girl to win in sports. We didn't get here overnight. But it seems so clear to see. Why are we having a problem seeing it? Part of the problem is that people have been trained and intimidated not to see. From the early 60s in our schools, there's been an insidious indoctrination going on, even on TV. Don't laugh when they say the most trusted voice in news. And the indoctrination has known this for years. Look up Operation Mockingbird. Look back some things where they're given the same talking points. We're living in a time where the demonic whack-a-mole is in full flight. And as I've said for the last 3 weeks in a row, it's like watching the magician. There's so much to look at. We're not sure where to look. But the bottom line and the premise of this message is we need a reality check. I'm going to tell you three things. Reality is only found in our worship. Reality is only found in the walk. Reality is only found in the word. This is our starting point for us when, as the hymnologist wrote, when all around my soul gives way. The reality is the worship. That's why I took a little extra time this morning to do what we do. It's in our walk. It is the daily things that we do. And that's the discipline part of it. That part, you know, we believe in the redemption part, but modern day churches is not teaching and encouraging people with the sanctification part, which is the work we must do to set ourselves apart to God. There's a whole story there. I don't have time to, that's not here, but that's a story there. And the responsibility of ourselves to set ourselves apart. The scripture even types us as vessels and honorable vessels as unto the Lord. So where does that bring me today? If reality is only found in the word, what's my affirmation for all of us this morning? Stand to your feet. You ready? Hold it up. Let's do it. Say it. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It's my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. We always do it twice. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said, be seated in Jesus' name. We started with this over 4 weeks ago when we lifted out the word from Proverbs 14 that makes this statement. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach for any people. Any people. I like notice the plurality of using that. And the inference here is that in the individual person, which makes up the people. Does that make sense to you? And what I did, and for these, and again, you'll hear it again next week. And the premise for all of this statement is this: when we look at why we're where we are right now, and my premise to you, if righteousness exalts a nation, I can stand on firm biblical footing by saying unrighteousness will destroy a nation. Write that. Got that? This theme will continue. You'll see it next week again. The world is crumbling. The nation is crumbling. Families are crumbling because fallen man is crumbling. Okay? Fallen man. Remember the foundation in the first month of the year? The man, the foundation of the man is not solid and not good. And part of, can we at least agree on that? I've been begging for us to at least agree on something. There ought to be something we can all agree on here. Can't even agree on the cause of things anymore. We're afraid to say it. We don't want to get intimidated. We don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to get called a hater. But part of my watchman job is to make this profound statement. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. We're in trouble on so many different levels. And here's what I know about the history of the word regarding my future. A national sin is going to bring national judgment. But here's this. It starts with people who are living in individual sin. When left unchecked, we'll, like Sodom, we'll, like the world of Noah, develop into a national disgrace before God Almighty. Speaking of disgrace, I've tried to be a little easy on you. I know I was blowing your hair back a couple times. There's still another week, too. There's so many things. I want to tell you about something this week that's going on in your country that you don't even know about. Don't put it up quite yet, Lynn. This week in the University of Houston, there, they decided to install an 18-foot-tall statue of a naked female figure. She has snakes on her. She has braids on her that are shaped like the goat's horns. She has arms like tentacles to celebrate abortion and to honor Satan. Put it up. Want to see it? Go to the other one. Look at that. That is on, that's 13 feet tall. It's at the University of Houston. Close all your mouths. That's what you're doing. I'm telling you. I said, no, this is some crazy kook sent this out. No, it's there. That's at the University of Houston, celebrating abortion and to honor Satan. And let me just say something to you. Before you go around speaking your binding and loosing prayers, he's not afraid of you. The devil's not afraid of your pronouncements if you're unrighteous. Okay? Righteousness exalts a nation. You are part of a nation here. He doesn't pay attention to that, but he will pay attention if you're strong, if you're a stable saint of God who's not afraid, intimidated, nor fearful when the world and the flesh and the devil start harassing. Now, this offends my natural spirit. It also offends the spirit of God that is in me, and it should to you also. And spiritual wickedness is in charge right now, but for just a time. Remember that. For just a time. For just a time. I read this 2 weeks ago. I come back to it just to touch on it real quick because I'm bringing the picture together. Paul said it this way, we're not wrestling against these flesh and blood things. And so don't let just a statue distract you is what I'm trying to say. It's a deeper thing. It's a principality. It is a power. It is against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Don't get so derailed at your aggravation at the statue, and I'm ready to blow that sucker down. I'll buy the bulldozer. I'll just take that thing down. But you know, if you take that down, what they'll do, they'll put it back up. They'll put you in jail, and they'll have a parade. Wickedness is in charge right now. And I'm kind of like David right now. It looks like they're winning right now. But take comfort. There is a higher word, and there's a higher world today. Take comfort in that right now. Being grounded in the word and keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus will be the two critical components for the children of God in the days to come. I'll say that again. Being grounded in the word and keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, this will be your priority in the days to come. Daily, you need to be reminded of another one of Paul's words when he made this statement in chapter 4. Give no place to the devil. Where does that start? Not just in the society. It starts in me. Again, things start in me and then it branches out right now. Give no place. And by the way, until he splits the skies, that's your thought. But until he splits the skies, you're dealing with the three things that we were said two different ways. 2 weeks ago, we talked about things that were earthly, that were sensual, that were demonic. Last 2 weeks, we've been talking about, though, we look at what the real, to put skin on it, we're dealing with the world, we're dealing with the flesh, we're dealing with the devil right now. So you want a reality check when you're dealing with those three things? Let's hit those last three words right here. When the world calls you, Romans says it this way in Romans 2. Here's what it's, I'm going to read it to you. Listen, hang into me. Romans 1 says, 12:1, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of our God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Now, in God's mindset that you've got to learn to take on and understand, to get the mind of Christ, the word says that is your reasonable service. Now, what does the world today? It is not reasonable to give your heart to God. It is not reasonable. We are intelligent people. We can make our decisions. We will do these things. That the reason of the world and the flesh and the devil is you do it yourself. But it's your reasonable service when you submit yourself, even your body, to God. Now, why is this? When the world calls, look at this. Do not be conformed to this world. When the world calls you, don't be conformed, but be transformed. Now, where does that happen? It starts off in our hearts and our mind by the renewing of our mind. Now, why? Why? To get you the badge? No, that you may prove it. You get to be living proof. You're walking living proof of God's mercy and his grace. When the world is blowing up around you, you are carrying yourself with dignity, with strength, with a solid foot on the ground. Don't let them even see you sweat. That you may prove what is that good, that acceptable, three more, and that perfect will of God. Okay, I understand that. So what do you do now? We talk about world. What about the flesh? What do you do when the flesh entices you in the process? Now, y'all were all jumping up and down and nodding at me in the first part of it. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Galatians 5 says it this way. Now, I'm going to read it to you, and I did this on purpose so you would pay attention to the way I would read it to you. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Remember the world, the flesh, the devil? Go back. Adam saw that it was good to eat. Jesus was tempted, turn this stone into bread. And I'll read it again. So you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How is that? You got to stay. It's staying in that spirit. For the flesh will lust against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They'll never get along. These two are contrary to one another. Stop right here. Remember the prophecy? Remember the prophecy in the garden? I will put enmity between you and this woman. Nothing's changed. We are at war with that sucker. And until the horn blows, you will be at war. And he will be bound. These two are contrary. So that you do not do the things that you wish. Remember the sanctification, setting ourselves apart, sanctification? But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the mechanics, the laborious thought of the law. And then he goes, he says, well, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, here you go. The works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. We don't see that as fleshly and demonic, do we? But contention is the way, that's the way things are done today. Spirit of contention. Jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, wow, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past. He's just reiterating what he said. Why? He's here to remind you that those who practice these things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's a pretty good word, isn't it? You don't jump up and down, though, because you know the responsibility there. Okay, we got the world. We got the flesh. What do you do then when the devil sets the trap? By the way, it's always fun. You go back and you look at the story of some of the people in the Bible. And of course, the story starts with the Adam and Eve story, when the devil set the trap. Every one of us have fallen into a trap that the devil had set one way or another. Okay? Every one of us. What do you do when the devil sets the trap? 1 Peter 5 says it this way. Resist him. Stand steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. There are other people that are struggling. I think that's the thing that we need to remind ourselves. All of us, we're humans. Nobody has suffered more than me. I'll tell you that straight up. Nobody has been persecuted more than I have. Nobody has suffered loss like I have. Doctor said it was the worst he ever saw when he dealt with somebody. You know I'm being facetious with you, right? Because we all think that. We all think that. We all want to say, you are so smart. I am so glad you see things my way. We're humans. But when he sets the trap, resist him and stand steadfast, knowing you're not the only one. Above all, I'm going to give you two things. We must stand in faith. We must stand in faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, for whatever is born of God, you know, remember we're talking about the world, the flesh, the devil, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Our faith. Our faith. What have you done lately to build up your faith? It's so easy to build your doubt. It's so easy to build your fears. What have you done lately to build your faith? What have you done to... Oral Roberts didn't make that up. Kenneth didn't make it up. Joyce didn't make it up. It's in the Word. This is the victory that has overcome. And notice this has overcome the world. Where are we? We're at the appropriation of it for ourselves. The realization of ourselves. I'm doing really, really better than your faces. So we must stand in faith. That's number one. Now, the second thing we need to remind ourselves, we must stay on guard. This is where we have our problems. We must stay on guard. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says it this way. Above all else, guard your heart. That deals with your eyes, your mind, things that will come in that will take you and drive you into a ditch. That will bring you into bondage. For everything you do will flow from it. Stand in faith. Stay on guard. That's reality. So let's proceed accordingly. Because at this point right now, it appears that evil is in charge, we have to be very, very careful. Sometimes after the repetitive hit, the repetitive intimidation, I encourage you, do not feel intimidated to fall in lockstep with the spirit of this world because you want to be liked. Jesus said, they didn't like me, they're not going to like you. Now, I've seen people intentionally act goofy and weird, you know, and give people a reason. But no, just serve God. They're going to hate you anyway. Don't give them any extra bat to hit you with. Just live your life and follow God. Don't be intimidated. And as I said last week, don't make this political. We should be way past this because you need to realize it is the devil who is our adversary. It is the spiritual wickedness in high places. Remember, I speak to you from a firm balance. Some people that do what I do are we should never address these things. I've been criticized for addressing some of the things that I've done for doing that. You got other people that they only see the other. The devil is afraid if you're balanced. He's afraid if your feet are on the ground and you look him in the eye and you say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, there's a balance to it. You should be active. Get involved where you are. Well, the Lord's going to pick us up and take us one day. You're going to live here for a while. Do what you can, all right? I'm sorry if that's too practical for you. Do what you can. Why in the world will we allow? Because the Lord's going to pick us up in one day and we're not going to suffer anymore. I'm not quite sure about that. We don't suffer when he comes, but between now and then, how do I tell this doctrine to people on the other side of the world that when they get baptized, they lose their heads? They get baptized on the other side of the world. Their farms are taken away from them. Their children are killed in front of them. They are dismembered if they get baptized somewhere. Oh, well, this isn't really it, man. As far as they are, it is. So we must stand in faith. We must be on our guard at all times. But get involved. Get involved. Get involved. Don't sit back. Get involved and allow your radar. When I say radar, you understand what I'm saying. I'm speaking of the Holy Spirit discernment, that thing that makes you go, oh, that's creepy. You know, somebody said, paraphrasing Obi-Wan Kenobi, the creep factor is high in this one. Larry Alex Taunton is a great writer, and I think he put it in the best perspective. He said, our faith defines our politics, not our politics and then our faith. But get involved, okay? And there's not going to be a perfect one, but do not be idle. Don't say, well, the bus is going to come pick me up when it's time. No, while you can. All right, what did Jesus say when he left him in the garden? He said, occupy till I come. Take care of this thing. Make sure it's good. All right. Fast forward, Jesus is telling a story about a guy with some land. You got it? And if this happened today, this would be on the news. This would be on, Mika would be out front and all the rest of them. They'd be out front with that look on their face and the shake in their head. My God, and Jesus saw the man, and the man that had very didn't do anything with what God, he took it from him. I came back and you didn't make it any better. It was all, he's expecting us. I forget what I'm saying about, don't forget what I'm saying. Trouble is loose right now, but the earth is still the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So do what you can. Do what you can. Don't be so steeped in your traditions, in your culture, in your comfort, in a spirit of covetousness or in a spirit of intimidation, even fear or some kind of misguided spiritual mysticism. We are the... No. You can't kumbaya your way through demonic oppression. You've got to stand strong and stand firm. You've got to see the real source of havoc. But why can't we? Because we're at a point in time where people do not want to acknowledge it because they're afraid it might lead to something else that I'm not ready to deal with. I was about, 11 years old. There was a man that my dad did business with. And as a little kid, I would go with him to this man's business. And he knew him for a long time. And, you know, they're always, you know, they looked at us like we were snake handlers, you know, back in those days. And I remember my dad always giving an encouraging word to this man. This will help you, by the way. And one day he said, I need you to pray for me. What is it? He said, I have a son. And the boy, let's see, the boy would probably have been about 19 or 20 at this point in time. He says he's been incorrigible for many, many years. Now he's downtown. He's hooked on drugs. I was about 10 years old. He said, would you please pray for my son? And I remember vaguely the second when my dad said, yeah, we will pray for him. But he said, I'd like to talk to him. And I remember this. And he told him where he could find him. And I remember one day my dad went down and picked the boy up. And he brought him back, you know. And I'm looking and I don't quite know what, you know, what's going on. The kid prays the salvation prayer. The kid in a heartbeat is transformed. He was saved, baby. He got saved. He got a Bible. He started worshiping. The boy, it was a real, I saw it, a legitimate conversion. Front row guy, Bible every Sunday. But through the passage of time, we came back one day, and I remember the story. I wasn't there for this. But I remember... The gist of the conversation was that the man came to my dad and he said to him, you know, I wanted you to help him, but I didn't want him to become a holy roller. True story. I didn't want this. I saw this. And I remember as a kid, it affected me a little bit. And it was only a matter of time before he was gone and we never saw him again. He wasn't standing in faith. He wasn't standing on guard. And he wasn't getting any help by people who claimed they loved him. He wasn't strong enough. But I saw it. It was real. It was real. But we don't want quite that. We want it nice. We want it clean. We need to be delivered from a spiritual cognitive dissonance. If we had time to talk about cognitive dissonance, every one of you have it. Every one of us have it at a certain level of something that we see that we know is not quite right, but we put up with it because maybe someone we know and love, or there's other things like that, or we have a soft spot maybe. I'm not even talking about sinful, but we have a soft spot toward that, and that's okay. We know them. But spiritually, we're that way, and we see people, and we need to ask God to help us because we've got to get a hold and engage the spiritual wickedness in high places. So what's the key? What we just did a minute ago, what we're doing right now. But one of the things it says when Jesus left, before the Holy Spirit was poured out, it said they continued in certain things. First thing it said they continued in prayers. During this time, in your private time, kick up your prayers. Kick up your prayers in your private time. Kick out, and I don't mean thank you for this food, but man, when you're by yourself, kick up your prayers. Kick up your prayers. Get loud. Use some energy when you pray. You can with energy describe that play, that LSU game, or Zion slam dunk. You can describe that. We all can do that. But when it's time to, Lord, I just want to thank you today. We just all that are here today, Lord, you just know, Lord, you just know. And if it be your will, Lord, we just, you know. David Jeremiah says it this way. It takes the same amount of energy to worry as it does to pray. One leads to peace, the other leads to panic. David Jeremiah nailed it right there. What are you using your energy on right now? I'm going to read a full statement, and then when in a moment, Lynn's going to put the last line up. But let me read the first part of this statement. And he's the great writer and the great preacher, E.M. Bounds, who wrote some great books. Here's what he said at first. He said, if we had more of Elijah's praying, marvels would not be the marvels that they are to us now. Does that make sense? I'll read it again. If we had more of Elijah's praying, marvels would not be the marvels that they are to us now. God would not be so strange, so far away, and so feeble in action. In the last line of his line, you'll see it. And Ian Bounds says, because everything is tame and feeble because our praying is so tame and feeble. Wow. Make noise. We need a reality check. What's the final setup? The final setup comes from Paul. I've been going in and out of this passage for the past 4 weeks. Now, concerning how and when all of this is going to happen, dear brothers and sisters. By the way, the whole premise of what I'm giving to you, I do not deny what's going on now, but I cannot deny the promise that Paul gives us of the future. Okay, you see the difference there? I cannot deny that. And in the meantime, I must stand in faith. I must stand in the word. I must stand in prayer. When all this will happen, we really don't need to write you. In other words, the meaning is, you know this already. For you know quite perfectly well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. Somebody said, the Lord's a thief. And no, you didn't read that right. What part of speech is like a thief in the night? It's a simile. It's not he is a thief in the night. Satan is not a roaring lion. He is like a roaring lion. And during the time, now this is what we're trying to do. This is when you see Klaus Schwab and you see the World Economic Forum and you see the UN and the World Health Organization, and when they're trying to bring a group together in another country that will decide what New Orleans, Louisiana does and takes all power there. That, you know, when we're wrapped arm in arm and we're singing songs like that. And when people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster is suddenly going to fall. Just like a pregnant woman's labor pains begin. By the way, you don't know when they're coming, do you? One day we're just having a good day, and she looked over and she said, it's now. It's now. It's now. There will be no escape to that. But notice this. He's in charge right now, but know what the word says about your future. Watch this. Is that scary stuff up there? Turn the page and look at the next verse. But you aren't in the dark about these things. What do you think I've been trying to do? You're not in the dark about these things. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Don't be shocked. The one thing Linda says that's a little too repetitive, we go back and forth right now. Linda's got a statement we'll see something, she'll go, I can't believe. And finally, one day, Tyler said, Mom, believe it. But I'm with her. I can't believe this stuff. I can't believe. How it's like the kids' movie. What kind of morons do you have working here? The very best in New York, ma'am. If you have kids, you've seen the movie. You're not in the dark about these things. And notice who he's talking to. Brothers. Sisters, this mail is addressed to covenant, y'all. Brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. One translation says, so that all of this will not overtake you. You won't be standing with your mouth open. I'm shocked. No, it's All you'll hear from this guy, this is not a drill. This is not a drill. This is not a drill. And you we'll hear it. We'll hear it wherever we are. For you are the children of the light and of the day. Remember that? Remember when I said stand in faith, also stand on guard? All right, is there darkness? When you get around darkness, let your antennas go up. And I mean your discernment antennas. We don't belong to the darkness and we don't belong to the night. We don't belong to the night. I've been back looking at restudying some things right now about the thing. We live in a time right now, and Jesus told us that men prefer darkness more than light because what? Their deeds are not good. Their deeds are evil. And in our world right now, the preferring of darkness. What did David say? The entrance of your word brings light. I'm hitting you from 10 directions. Verse 6, so be on your guard. Not asleep like the others. Stay alert. Be clear-headed. I like that. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. Last night we saw a few minutes of one of those reality shows that was done in New Orleans with the police department and the EMS group. If you've seen some of the firemen, and since that's in our house right now, we were watching a few minutes of it. It's a little enough. Mom had enough early on it, but here they are, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning. They get 1,000 calls a night in this one thing. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. This guy's down in the French Quarter. He's from Minnesota, probably some little Baptist boy. He's bleeding. He's laying there. Now, I'm going to tell you how not to have that happen. Be in your bed at 10, in your house, next to your wife or grandmother. I was just down here. Play stupid games. You win stupid prizes. You don't have to call on God. You just know not to be there. Well, let's just pray about it. No. And the EMS guy just said, don't you know you haven't been to New Orleans until you've seen the back end of an ambulance? Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us. Hey, tell somebody next to you, I'm one of us. Go ahead. Come on, I told you, I'd encourage you. Let us who live in the light, let us be clear-headed. That means when all around you is going loose, protected by the armor of faith, the armor of love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to say, God chose you. World's a mess. It's going to get worse. I hate to tell you that. I did that New Year's Eve, and you left out here with your heads down. Everybody's going, oh, it's going to be your best year. No, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. But the strength of the people, of covenant people, is going to get stronger. And the difference is going to be seen as we go. Let us be clear-headed. Because God chose to save you guys. He chose to save us. Through our, and this sets us up for the weeks we'll be talking about coming up. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, what do you believe? To give them that right there. Give them that line right there. For you say, do you see all this awful, evil stuff? I want you to know how much God loves you. He chose to save you through Jesus Christ, his son, not to pour out his anger on you. Hell wasn't made for you. Old Brother Garland used to preach, hell wasn't made for you. He said, and if you go to hell, you're going to have to go uphill. You got to work to go to hell. God loves you. You got to willfully reject of what God says. He chose to save us, not to pour out anger. Verse 10, for Christ died for us. Now notice this. There are some people that have suffered great, horrible things. Some of them are not even here anymore. They've suffered awful things. Some of us are going to face awful things. But notice this. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we will live with him forever. Now, that isn't that more of an encouragement than what you're hearing and seeing right now? So it says to do what I've been trying to do to you for the last 40 minutes. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. You should walk in here. Every one of us have some problems. We were laughing about somebody had a saying the other day that said, don't tell your problems to everybody. 90% of them don't care and 10% are glad. But we just vomit up our problems. We just stop somebody on the bus and start telling them those things. You get in a restaurant. You ladies are going to a restaurant and there's another lady in the same bathroom. Y'all know about each other's surgery by the time you come back to your separate tables. Imagine what happens if you walk through the room and say, man, you're doing good. How you doing, pal? You can look at somebody and know if they've had kind of a... Be encouraged. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Come on. It's going to be... Not in my... I'm not a think I can believism. No, but it is a founded in the Word. The Word tells me it's going to be okay. Whether it's here or there, it's going to be okay. So be encouraged. I'll tell you how to encourage you. I wrote this statement down on Friday afternoon when I thought the notes were finished. Be encouraged. You are still here for a reason. Notice this. Last Sunday morning, and even last night, people died who had plans for today. It was their time, God's time. If you're still here, He's not finished with you. Be encouraged today. He's not finished with you. He's got something for you. You're going to run pretty soon. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings and they will run and they will not be weary. You're still alive, aren't you? So give thanks. Yeah, but it's terrible. Are you breathing? Give thanks. If your name's not in the paper this morning, give thanks. Give thanks today. He's not finished. Stay awake. Stay engaged. Fight the fear. That's really what we're fighting right now. Someone said, don't let fear cancel your faith. Paula White said, don't let it cancel your faith. Speak the word. Build your faith. Don't let your fear cancel the word. And you must do these three things. Rebuke it. Release it. Renounce it. Say those three words. Rebuke it. Release it, renounce it. That's not of God, that's of the devil. You get behind me, you get back. What did Jesus say? Again, the whole story of the three things we talked about, whether it was earthly, sensual, and demonic, whether it was the world, the flesh, the devil. Remember all those things there. Remember when he said, it was in Ezekiel, and God said, if Noah and if Job and if Daniel were living here, I'd only save them, I'd blow the rest of them up. Rebuke that fear that comes on you. Fear will cancel your faith. Fear will cancel your faith, so you must speak the word. Not just a one time, it's every day, every morning, every time you get a chance. This word is wise. Remember you said that. Rebuke it. Get away from here. Release it. What's that mean? Quit going back to visit it. Some of you wonderful people, but you keep going back to visit it. Quit going back to what God already delivered you from. Stop that. Stop that. Stop that. David said, you know what it's like? It's like a dog going back to his vomit. Rebuke it, release it, renounce it in Jesus' name. I'm not even finished. This word is wise. Stand to your feet. That's your reality check for today.